May the words of my lips, may the meditations of all our hearts, may the deeds which proceed from both be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Jenny, for that reading. Words, 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 I'm so sick of words. If you're in love, show me. Sing me no song, read me no rhyme. Don't waste my time, show me. No, I'm not going to sing it. But you might recognise Eliza Doolittle's words from My Fair Lady. And she could well be speaking of so many issues in the news today when it seems to be words, 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 endless debate, no action. Or she could be speaking of many vicars, preachers, ministers all around God's world today trying to explain the Holy Trinity. And the trouble is that none of it will work. There are innumerable attempts to offer an explanation. The Trinity is like a three-leaf clover. Or three things that are the same but different. Ice, water, steam. Or it's like how one person can be three different persons at the same time. Daughter, mother, sister. The truth is that even if we could find the very best formula for the Trinity, it really wouldn't help us all that much. The invitation today is not to find a formula that we might somehow gain the power to explain God. That's too much like the story of Babel, which led to Noah's flood. Our arrogance that would say we know precisely what God is. But the invitation is to respond to the nature of God, who is by nature Trinity. And to be more like Adam and Eve, who had the privilege of walking with God in the Garden of Eden. For the Trinity tells us that God is, for want of a better word, a community of perfect, unbroken relationship. God is love. And love cannot exist except in relationship. The gospel reading Jenny read to us just a few moments ago for Trinity Sunday comes right at the end of Matthew's gospel, and it's commonly referred to as the Great Commission. It takes place in those days after the resurrection. The disciples are still trying, still struggling to make sense of all that has happened. Jesus by now has appeared to a good number of people. But that doesn't mean that faith in him is now straightforward. Belief and faith are two different things. Belief that Jesus is risen, evidenced by his appearance to the disciples, does not necessarily lead to faith in him for who he is and the reality of what he's achieved. Matthew makes clear that even in this final resurrection appearance to the apostles, some worshipped, but some doubted. After all of that, they still doubted. And that doubt is very human and very understandable. And it doesn't seem to bother Jesus too much. For it's into that mix of faith and doubt that Jesus speaks truly extraordinary words. He tells them that he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, which means that nowhere, no one, nothing is outside of his jurisdiction. You can go anywhere, physically, mentally, emotionally, metaphorically, and Christ has already been there, waiting. And he gives to his disciples, to those disciples and to us, two things, a task and a promise. And these two things go together. Firstly, he tasks them with going out and making disciples of all nations. Now, interestingly, Matthew makes no mention of requiring people to have faith before baptism. He doesn't require them to subscribe to a doctrinal creed or any such thing. They are not required to undertake a whole list of acts that demonstrate their faith. Pure and simply, the thrust of Matthew's gospel has always been about the inclusion of all people into that gospel. Jesus is no longer just for the Jews who believed in him. Now he's also for the Gentiles, everyone. So his disciples are to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, as we call it. Once upon a time, this was thought by many scholars to be something that was added by the church, maybe centuries later, once they'd settled on this idea of the Trinity and were comfortable with it. But most modern scholars believe this to be authentic to Matthew's gospel. But most wonderful of all, Jesus gives them a promise. And the promise is that he will be with them always. In baptism, through God's great grace, people come into this divine relationship with God. And it doesn't end there. Loved eternally by God, we are to love one another. And so, to reflect the heart of God's image within us. That's the Great Commission. That by our lives, much more so than our words, all people may know that they too are invited into God's great love. We can use whatever words we choose, proclaim whatever we want to from the pulpit, run whatever events we might like to, but people will see quite readily whether what's at the heart of all that we do is love or not. And if they see that it is love, they will be seeing something of God. For we are made in the very image of God. That means we were made for relationship. None of us is designed to be isolated or self-sufficient. We need each other. We must love and be loved. It's one of the reasons we need the church. Because the church puts us in relationship with others. The church is actually one of the broadest organizations, going across barriers of gender, of wealth, of tradition, of color, and even sometimes of age. Each one of us exists to be a representation of God's love to others, even to those we find it difficult to be with. A perfect church would be a community of people in perfect relationship with each other and with God. And it would be continually inviting others in. That way, we would perfectly reflect God, the Holy Trinity. But we fail, of course. That's why we have confession and absolution in every service. That we might, or God might, mend what is broken, as Paul urges the Corinthians. Jesus calls us to know the eternal love and presence of God. And it's from the security of the knowledge of the love of God, who is with us always, that he calls us to love all people in turn. It's a tremendous commission. And an even more tremendous promise. And it's not just clever words for Trinity Sunday. If we will let it, it becomes life in all its fullness. Amen.